I just want to say a few real simple things. It's obviously a short service. We got all the kids with us, and they're already doing great, paying attention, but we don't want to tax them too long. But, you know, would you just, for a moment, hold in your heart the picture of little Samuel here, the idea of this whole crazy world that needed fixing, and God sent a little baby. You know, some things are small to us, but they're big to God. You know, one of the joys of our faith is you and I really do get to see big things happen. I can tell you about after my grandfather's 5 or 6 surgeries and the doctors giving him hours to live, I can tell you how he was miraculously healed of cancer and lived for and is still living now 30 plus years later. I can tell you about miracles. I mean, God does big, big things. But sometimes when we hear this verse about for nothing is impossible with God, we tend to think of only big things. You know, some of the most important things you and I will ever do are really small to everybody else. They're things that nobody else really notices or pays attention to. And I just want to take a very short moment to reflect on the idea of the small things that are big to God. Things that don't seem like they have much power to them, don't seem they really can help us much. And yet, to God, they're precious. They're things that are big to Him. I'm going to use the word presence right there to go through a few things. And I'm hoping just one or two of the things I mention will be something that in your life may be really important today. Again, we kind of live in a world where big is the best. I mean, who doesn't need a triple-sized Big Gulp? I mean, isn't that what we all need in life? You know, and yet, it's some of the smallest things to everybody else that are really most important to God. The P stands for prayer. By the way, you've got an index card in your bulletin. Cornerstone is sparing no expense for your writing enjoyment today. And I'm going to invite you on one side of the card to write down these presents that you can give God that seem small but are big. And I'm going to ask you to save the other side of the card for something at the end of service. You know, it's wonderful when you get to pour out your heart to God and you have a big, long prayer. But I just want to encourage you today, and maybe someone who here doesn't feel all that spiritual or religious, that, you know, small prayers can be very big to God. You know, if you look through the Gospels, Jesus doesn't say many big prayers. He says things like, Father, forgive them. Peter, who's drowning, says, Lord, save me. The thief on the cross says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You know, there is definitely some really right times for long prayers. I mean, it's a great thing. But I want to encourage you today that sometimes the smallest prayers are the most powerful. Prayers that are short and heartfelt, they're really focused on God. We stop and turn to Him. On January 6th, I'm going to challenge the church to prayer for 3 months to begin the year. And I'm going to talk about a man who said one prayer that started one of the greatest revivals in all the world. That prayer had 3 words to it. God, bend me. There was a man who prayed that prayer, and I'll share the story on January 6th. He said a 3-word prayer, and that prayer started a revival that all of history talks about. I'm going to actually give us a 7-word prayer. I'm going to teach you a 7-word prayer on January 6th. 7 words just to say to God every day. And you know what? There might be something on your heart today. There might be something just small, but honest and sincere. And it might seem small to everybody else, but it might be big to God. The second is this. R is for repentance. You know, I think sometimes when we see what we've done in the past, there are some things that it's just done. You know, we're not going to do anymore. But there are a lot of things we can go back and fix. And maybe we're not going to fix all of it. And maybe, you know, it won't even mostly matter to the other person. But maybe to us, we need to go back and set that thing straight. I want to encourage you that sometimes what seems like a small act of repentance, a small act of restitution, a small act of reconciliation, that they can be some of the biggest moments in a person's life. I want to encourage you today to ask God, not with condemnation or guilt, not about beating yourself up or feeling guilty about the past, but with a sense of hope and with a sense of faith, God, is there a small thing I could do about something in the past? Some debt I need to repay that I should. It's not that I'm forgiven, God's saying, but you know what? I should go fix that. You know, it's amazing for all our studies on the spiritual gifts, all our studies on revival, all of our studies on the move of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's some people who study all those things, but they'll never pray to God, God, you know what? If I need to go fix that, I'm willing. And they sit and they study all these big books about the move of the Holy Spirit, but they leave within their heart a door for the Holy Spirit to flood them. And I want to encourage you that some of the biggest moves of God ever on your life are just by a very small little act. God, you know what? No one even knows I took that. Nobody even knows I stole that. Nobody even knows I said that. But you know what? I should go fix that because I can. I'm not talking in always letting the past hang over your head. I'm not talking about guilt-driven condemnation. I'm just talking about a thing when you know God and you know His ways and you trust Him so much that instead of controlling life and being defensive, you say, you know, God, I know You would want me to fix that, and I want to fix that too. You can long for your favorite worship song to always be played on a Sunday morning so that you can have a great spiritual experience. But when you take the moments to do the small things that set your relationships right, any song becomes a powerful song with God. The E is for encouragement. Last week, we yet again used index cards. That seems to be what God's using lately here at Cornerstone. We used index cards, and I encourage you to write a note that would speak life to somebody else in the room. I can't tell you how many people talked to me that week and said the powerful moment they had with God when someone else gave them a word of encouragement. You know, it might seem small to you, and sometimes you may think because of your personality, you're not much of an encouraging person. But you know, an encouragement isn't a personality trait. Encouragement is a part of giving thanks that all of us do. Sure, we may do it different, but I want to encourage you in this room. You will never know the way God could use a small act of encouragement in somebody else's life. I pray that what people know about Cornerstone more than anything else is in all the big programs or things like that. I pray when they come to Cornerstone, they feel encouraged. Someone, not the pastor, not someone, quote unquote, who's paid to do it, but just a true, honest believer who sees where they are and says a word of encouragement. You will never know. That may seem small to you, but it could be very big to God. The next is sacrifice. And Samuel has been so good, but I do have to give him up at this point. The next, the S is for sacrifice. Thanks, Philip. Miss Joy. You know, I think most of us look at sacrifice as a dollar amount based on what is considered a lot in our day and age. But you know, sacrifice isn't about comparing what we give to somebody else. Sacrifice is how we are willing to go outside of our comfort zones for God. So I think if you're going to talk about sacrifice, instead of talking about, well, he gave this and she gave that, you should really look at what you feel like you're comfortable with in life and give some of your comfort to God. That's sacrifice. The woman who gave two mites in the temple, what did Jesus say about her? He said, you know, she gave basically two pennies, but she gave more than anybody else because she didn't give out of her excess. She didn't give out of what was left over. She gave out of the very thing she was kind of holding on to that was keeping her going. You know, David, King David says, I will not give to the Lord what costs me nothing. You know, one of the things you and I are to look at is sacrifice is a part of loving God. And maybe you look at a certain sacrifice in your life and you say, well, that's not very much. It may seem small to everybody else, but it may be very big to God. You know, one of the things that my family does as part of our Christmas tradition is we always, my wife bakes cookies for all the neighbors, because if I did that, that'd be a different gift for the neighbors. And we go around, and we did it yesterday. We go around and we give the cookies. And, you know, it's been a few years now, so people know it's coming. It's kind of like, oh, thanks again, you know. And it's in some ways it's not all that comfortable, because it's not like we're having these huge fuzzy moments with our neighbors. But we really want to give a sacrifice. And so we lead, my kids, and we go around to all the neighbors, about 10 neighbors, and we give them a plate of cookies, and we gave them our invitation with Sandy's invitation for Christmas Eve with the dollar staple to it. And we invited people to Christmas Eve service. And you know what? I don't know if we'll ever see any of them in our church. The more we do it, it seems like the less they are willing to come. I'm not sure what it is about us. But you know what? We make the main thing about Jesus, not our church. We want people to know Jesus, but we do invite them. But you know, even that's a right sacrifice. And it might seem really small, but I think those are the kind of sacrifices that go past our comfort zone to a place where God can touch another life. You never know what God will do at your sacrifice. It may seem small to you, but could turn out very big to Him. We took our Advent offering last week, and we asked people to give. We talked about letting it be done responsibly by the guiding of the Spirit, not emotionally. A true sacrifice, something that was more than what we just, you know, was comfortable. And we were believing the Lord for $18,000. I think we got a slide that lists that, if you could keep going. Right there. And, you know, I'm sure for some churches that's pocket change. For us, that's a big deal. And so we're saying, Lord, could you help us? And we had prayed through, the elders had approved all these. And so we gave our offering last week. So I want to give out a few gifts this morning. It's my favorite thing to do on Christmas Sunday. Through people's humble sacrifices, this is going to be tough here, but I'll do what I can. First of all, you know that we have the clinic in the Muslim village in Ethiopia, and we've been raising funds, and we wanted to raise just a little bit for the medicine, the leprosy medicine for the village. So we've got some really exciting news here. I'm going to have Lil, who's part of our Project Hope team. Lil, we were believing the Lord for $1,000, and we're able to give Project Hope $1,500 for the medicine. So if you just receive that on behalf of the church. We have a nonprofit here, Cornerstone Revitalization Center, that works on Jeff Davis Corridor and just the at-risk communities. We have a lot of wonderful friends and church family that go there. And we're really excited to, we pledged for $1,000 to believe the Lord to do that. I think I'll give this to Chrissy and Steve, since Chrissy and Steve are serving with Cornerstone Revitalization Center. It's our joy to give a check for $3,000 for Revitalization Center. We wanted for our youth to just, we know they've got some things coming up that are going to be some extra expenses. Of course, we try to diligently take care of it with our budget, but we knew some big things that were going to be happening there. And I'm just going to give this one to Haiti, because our children's pastor is yet to be here. But we have a joy to give the children and youth a check for $3,500 for some of the projects that are coming up. So let me just give you a side moment. So last week we gave our Advent offering, and for like 9 months we've been looking for a children's pastor, and just trying to really say, God, what's this next step for us? So while we're here giving our offering, there is a children's pastor candidate in the congregation, and last Sunday. And her name's Anidra Butler, and as we're giving the offering, I'm just noticing that's kind of an ironic moment that she's here on this moment. And the elders met with her and a lot of the leaders. And I want to show you a picture of her family. This is a picture of our new children's pastor and her family. And they said, yes, I'm going to go through the list here. It's Jaden on the end. Then it's Soren. It's Wendell. Anidra is our children's pastor. I'll show you another picture in a second. It's Malaya, and then it is Kai. And they've been serving up near the Philly area right now. They're actually from Virginia originally. And on Monday, they came back and said, you know, we just saw what God was doing in the church and who it is, and we want to come and be a part of that. So we're expecting them February 1st. And so there's another picture. That's Anidra. Here we were last Sunday giving, and God was about to give us the greatest gift of all. So we have a lot to rejoice over there. We knew that we wanted to follow up. We're going to have a team going to Peru to build churches this fall, and we knew there were going to be a lot of construction costs. And so I've got a check here for the exact amount of $3,000 for Peru, so we're really thankful for that. But because of the giving, and I'll give this one to the Vangelas who are with us, we also are giving an extra $1,000 for the missions committee to bless our missionary families for Christmas. So, Chris, great to have you here, Megan. Thank you for being here. And then we wanted to give to the hurricane relief. We've already had the team there. Who is here from the team? Who's here from the team? All right. Okay, Jack, you got to do this one. Jack, on behalf of the church, and if you just receive it for us, we got a check for the $3,000 to go to them. We want to praise the Lord for that. And in addition to that, and I'm going to give this one to Gina since she's part of the school system, we actually are also going to give a check of $1,000 to Sandy Hook families and some of the needs that they have there because we raised so much. So thank you, Gina. Our final piece is obviously largest. It's odd that it's usually this large, but we are believing starting March 31st on Easter Sunday that we're going to start a second separate 1105 service, a simulcast. We were believing for, we really know that we need a lot more than that 9,000 just for all the equipment and stuff. And so I don't know if you've been doing the math, but I'm going to give it to Bob Brown as part of the board of directors here at the church. So, board, if you receive a check for $14,000 for the simulcast. God bless you. So I don't know if you've done the math on that, but that's $30,000. Yeah, that's a lot to celebrate. And, you know, I know that each of us here, I mean, even the offerings we gave, it's not like we couldn't use them for things we're doing. But what a beautiful sight to see God's people. I mean, we're not, you know, there are no millionaires in the room. We're just all honest people trying to make ends meet. And yet God took the small sacrifices each one of us made and together brought together a gift even more than what we were expecting and encouraging our faith for great things. So I want to say a word of prayer for that. And as I do that, I'm going to invite the worship team up and I'm going to finish up the thoughts real quick to get us to a place of just worship because certainly we're there already. Let's pray. Lord, we want to say thank you for the gift of sacrifice. Lord, we want to say thank you as a church family for the next generation of our kids and youth, for the work you're doing along the Jeff Davis Corridor, Ethiopia, Peru. Lord, for the 20,000 souls that are 5 miles away from here that don't know Christ. We're praying that you would take these sacrifices and more than dollar signs and checks, we're praying that this harvest would go into the lives of thousands and thousands and thousands of people to know Jesus for your glory and honor. Thank you for the gifts that were given. Thank you for the faithfulness of this church family. Lord, we celebrate, Lord, such an extravagant gift as we sacrifice what maybe even seems small. And yet, Father, you did such big things with it. May your glory continue. In Christ's name we pray, and everyone said, amen. So I want a few letters. E is for example. You know, I think when I'm busy as a parent, I tend to think, gee, my kids should just know better. And yet, by that very word, they should know better, I'm saying that me as their parent haven't taught them something because they don't know it, and that's my job. And it just struck me in the last week the power of small examples in life. You know, none of us as parents is perfect. We're always going to see things we've done wrong, and there's a lot of grace there. But I want to encourage you today that even a small example the way we talk about people around the dinner table, the way we handle a difficult moment, the way we choose to pray instead of panic. That there are a lot of small examples that can mean a lot in people's lives, especially those closest to us. And I would just kind of challenge you to find a small way to give an example to a child. You know, I try to tell myself, you know, Caleb's 5. I just try to say, you know, if I ever look at him and go, gee, doesn't he know better? I'm like, well, that's me. I'm the one who's supposed to teach him that. And so instead of kind of just saying, straighten up, I need to use that as a moment, say, I need to somehow show an example of what he should know in that moment. Because small examples can be big, big, powerful things in God's hands. The N is for new beginnings. I know it's some of us, since we're just naturally rebels, we've just refused to do anything new for New Year's because everybody else is doing it, you know. But it is really a change of a season for us. It is a season of harvest. And it begins by doing some new things. I'm praying that either you will serve in the children's ministry in a new way, the youth ministry, or you'll join a life group starting 10 a.m. on January 6th. That you will allow a new part of fellowship. Sarah and I, my wife, you know, we're talking about just new ways we want to pray a little more together. And, you know, it's small. It probably doesn't, you know, we're not going to do a conference about it. We're just going to do it ourselves and nobody's going to know. But what might seem small to a lot of people is probably pretty big to our marriage, pretty big to our family. And then the T is for testimony. I just don't know when's the last time you gave God credit for something in front of somebody else? When's the last time you were with a coworker or even with your child and you said something about how God did that? You know, and I know sometimes like, well, I don't have a super big testimony. I mean, we've got the rock star testimonies like Lori Patton. I mean, that's just rock star, sign the autograph, write the book. It's awesome what God did in her life. And we got to celebrate that. But you know, sometimes it's just a small testimony. You know, I've been having a hard week and I just felt like God just lifted me up. You know, last night I was so much sickness going around. And man, last night I went to bed. I was like, man, I hope I'm going to be able to talk in the morning. I had such a sore throat. I mean, it just all came on me. And Sarah and I just prayed for a moment. And I woke up. I'm like, I can't believe how good I feel this morning. And, you know, that's a small thing. But some of those testimonies can make a big difference in people's lives. And then the S is for surrender. It's a final thought. You know, I know that surrender is actually a pretty big word and it's about big things, but it just kind of hit me that, you know, some people in the room, they don't even think to surrender their life to God is even that much because they're not all that feeling good about who they are. It's like, yeah, I could surrender, but what's that? You know, what difference does that make in the world? What difference will that make in my family? What difference will that make in what I'm going through in life? And I just want to say a real, you know, I'm not saying anything that anybody doesn't know this morning, but, you know, sometimes, even though it might seem small to you, a decision to give your life to Christ, a decision to start again with God, you know, it might seem small, but it could be the biggest thing that ever happens in your life. You know, I was just thinking, I was talking to my grandfather, he's 85 plus now, and you know, I was remembering the other day, he was telling me about when he was 5 years old, he went to a VBS, and this was during the Depression and stuff, where someone decided to make a cake for all the birthdays. And if, you know, if you had a birthday, it was your cake. And he said that day, when he went because of the cake. And that's the day when he accepted Christ. And, you know, some lady someplace, I'm assuming, had the idea of making a cake for VBS. And it probably wasn't all that big of a deal. But I tell you what, generations later, what was small to that lady is humongous in my family. And, you know, your life may, well, what does it matter if I choose God or, you know what? You know, the Roman world was oppressing and craziness was going on and God sent a baby and everybody had to say, what in the world? How is this supposed to help anything? And maybe that's the way you feel about your decision for Christ. Well, that's great, but who's paying my bills and who's fixing my family and who's doing this? And I would just say, it's the story of Christmas. It might seem small to you, but it's big to God. I'm going to invite you to finish up this service by turning that index card over and writing out a small present to God, something you want to give Him, something maybe that I've talked about this morning. It doesn't have to be long and impressive. It's kind of the whole idea that it's not. It's just small. Maybe it seems small to everybody else, but you know it's big for what God's doing in you, what God's doing through your story and through your family. And the kids have been great. I hope, parents, you treat them real well today. They've been terrific during our service, and give them a little extra blessing. But I just want you to take one more moment today. You're going to keep that index card. It's not coming up here. It's just going to be for your Bible through the year. It's not all that impressive, just an index card. But just something you want to give God. It's a simple prayer, a small prayer that says, God, just do this in my family this year. God, do this in me. God, I want to give you this. Lord, help me here. It may seem small to anybody else, but not to God. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer, and while I do, you could just keep writing if you want, or you can bow your head and close your eyes with me. Father, we just want to say thank you for small gifts. Lord, I believe in this year of harvest coming up that some of the small seeds we plant in faith, some of the small acts of obedience, some of the small gifts of worship we give you are going to produce such a harvest. They might seem small to a person who's super religious or that person who's super prideful, but Lord, you're the God of the humble. You're the God who's so big that He loves to use small things. So, Lord, I just pray now that you would speak to each person's heart here in the very simple, humble thing they write on that index card that goes home with them. That it would be a prayer, that it would be a seed, that it would be a present to you that would turn out to be a bigger blessing than they ever realize. Increase and encourage people's faith today. I'm just going to invite you to take a moment and pray your own prayer about what's on that card. And then Pastor Brandon's going to lead us in a moment of worship.
That you're a good God. You're a faithful God. There is so much that we can come and offer you today just in thanksgiving and gratefulness. Lord, I pray that each one of us would really be able to enjoy who you are in our lives this week. There would be a fresh sense of our God who is with us as Jesus, Emmanuel. Father, we just pray that as we celebrate that this week, as we celebrate it with family, God, there would also be a new joy that's born in our hearts, a new love that's born in our hearts, and an expectancy for a God who can do the impossible. God, that's what we ask this morning. And we thank you that you are the one who is faithful to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.